Hey guys, it's Brian from the High Spot Podcast. Thank you so much for following us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Jeff and I couldn't be more grateful. And we were so excited this past weekend enjoying WrestleMania. We couldn't have asked for anything more. The outcomes were surprising. Didn't really expect too much, but that's kind of what I said last year as well. And the WWE still finds ways of surprising us. But what was more surprising is that, you know, prior to that week, Jeff and I were able to meet some great individuals for some interviews and sit down with them, and them being so gracious with their time to sit down with us. And a gentleman by the name of Rob Schamberger, and you follow him on Twitter, at Rob Schamberger, who does incredible artwork. And I'm not going to give it all away. You'll listen to it during the interview. But great story about how, you know, things not going the way you want it to go, and basically making up an opportunity for yourself, which is what we all aspire to be sometimes, especially Jeff and I when we're doing this podcast for you guys. And it was just great sitting down with him, talking to him. You know, he's working on a big project that will eventually be shown, and he was kind enough to share his time while he was doing it, taking a little break from painting, and talk about WrestleMania weekend and how he ended up kind of correlating his work and his artistry with the WWE. And he sat down and spoke to us for a few minutes, and we really appreciate it. And so you'll be listening right now to the interview with Rob Schamberger, who we had got a chance to meet at WWE Access by the Superstore. And he was doing murals and painting, and it was just really inspiring, and he's just a great guy, and such an easy conversation to have with him, Jeff and I did. I hope you guys enjoy the interview. We'll talk to you later. Rob, thank you so much for being on the High Spot. We're really honored to have you on, and at the same time, how are you today?
Oh, doing great, doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, Rob, checking out your artwork, I really took notice of how detailed it is. Like, at what age did you realize that, you know, hey, this is something that I really like to do? What inspired you, and at what age did you want to take this up and thinking, hey, I can make a profession out of this?
I was 7 or 8 years old. Got my first comic book. Spent the whole weekend redrawing it, and just knew, like, this is what I want to do. It was The Incredible Hulk. It was back when he was gray and he was fighting the Absorbing Man on Hoover Dam. I loved it. And it just hit me right then, like, this is what I want to do.
Now, were you into that in terms of when you studied to become an artist? Was that something you wanted to dive into immediately saying, hey, I want to work for Marvel or DC Comics?
Yeah, I was wanting to be a comic book artist. Mostly, you know, like... owning my own thing, although if Marvel or DC had had me, I definitely would have entertained working for them. But being a comic book artist was where I was wanting to start out.
What being into comics, and I know that Brian here, my partner, is very much into the comics. Which ones for you stood out? Which ones did you enjoy reading?
Oh, and I'm still a voracious reader. Anything where I can tell that there was, well, initially it was the X-Men, you know, like with pretty much any prepubescent boy, that's what drug me in. But from there, I started really following certain creators. Initially, it was, you know, the flashier guys that started Image. So, you know, like Todd McFarlane, Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, those guys. Later on, gravitated more towards the artist type guys. So, you know, like Bernie Wrightson, Frank Frazetta, Mike Mignola, Tony Harris, Bill Sienkiewicz. I can go for a while. Anyone where I could tell where, you know, like they were really like pushing it further than, you know, just earning a paycheck.
I mean, with that being said, I mean, I love comic books. I remember when I first walked into and how archaic is that a bookstore? Now I guess it's like Barnes & Noble's where you check it on the internet. I would look at, you know, the comics waiting for my parents to come pick me and my brother up. And what ended up happening is I would just, you know, look at Spider-Man, look at Superman, Batman. And I remember very distinctly at that time, not trying to date myself, but the images were so captivating to me. They actually paid more attention to the artwork than I ever did necessarily the storyline or what the dialogue was saying. Was that something that you fell into as well, that you just saw the artistry of how the pictures actually spoke more words than the actual dialogue that was written for it?
I always liked the way that they mixed together. You know, sequential art in itself is conveying an idea through a sequence of images. But I think that there's really fascinating things that can be done with the text added in. So again, like in the mid-80s when I started reading with X-Men comics, you know, Chris Claremont had a very distinct voice. And then later on, when I got a little older, the way that Frank Miller would mix the narrative with his images. And of course, you know, Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons on Watchmen. I love all of it. All of it.
So you're an X-Men guy, as you said before. Like, with the remakes now of the movies, obviously, are you a fan when it translates from the comics to the movies? Do you critique it a lot because it depends on if it goes exactly to the script as the comics, or do you, I guess, appreciate that the movies take their own leeway in how they want to present the film? And to you, which is your favorite X-Men character?
Well, yeah, they're definitely separate things. I'm more a fan of what it takes to make a comic book than specific characters or anything. So like a lot of these superhero movies and adaptations of, you know, different source materials that I like, I always try to judge the film as a separate thing. So like if it's a good movie, then I like it, right? And if it's a bad movie, then it's bad, but I don't really judge it against the source material, except for Man of Steel, which utterly got Superman wrong.
Don't hold back.
We could spend a whole show just analyzing the wrongs of Man of Steel.
but otherwise, you know, like, say, the second X-Men movie, fantastic. Or X-Men First Class was, you know, just utterly enjoyable. X-Men 3, pretty terrible.
Yeah. We're all greens
like
on that one, yeah.
With budget. as far as favorite character, I don't know. I guess that changes with whenever I'm reading it at that certain point. Either Kitty Pryde or Magneto both very compelling characters to me.
So we get into characters, and, you know, the WWE has a bunch of characters. And when did you, like, how did it start, your relationship with the WWE? How did it, did you just, you know, tweet your pictures? How did word get out to the WWE that, hey, you know what, you are very talented at what you do with your paintings?
It's a very long answer to that. I was chasing being a comic book artist for a long time. And about 6 years ago, it dawned on me that I was always going to have a day job. You know, like at best, comic books were just going to be a secondary source of income. And so like I would never be able to fully focus, you know, all day long and really, truly improve my craft.
You had to pay the bills, right?
Oh, yeah. And at the time, you know, I had a live-in girlfriend who's now my wife. You know, we were on the path towards marriage. And I just, you know, started having grown-up thoughts. Yeah. I was, you know, 30 years old and having that third life crisis. But
yeah, we all got to grow up one day, right?
Well, at least an age.
Yeah.
I was doing a lot of paintings on the side, just different ways to experiment with my style to grow. And so I had these all over the apartment, and my then girlfriend, now wife, was always on me like, you should do a gallery show with this stuff. And I'm like, oh no, the comic books are what's important. You know, no one wants to pay attention to what I'm doing with these paintings. But eventually I discovered that it was worthwhile listening to her. And
that's lesson number one. Always listen to the wife, right?
They always know.
They're always right.
Or yeah. Exactly. Or they always think they're right.
Or you got to tell them at least they're right once in a while.
Well, it's more that I'm wrong more often. But I, you know, did a gallery show and it did really well. You know, I had a lot of attention to it, sold some paintings, which is just highly unusual in itself for a gallery show. And it got to the point where that was doing better than my comic book work. But again, it wasn't anything where I could quit my day job.
Now, these paintings, though, they weren't WWE paintings, right? They were just other things, like
various things, okay, like pinups and jazz and, you know, different interests. And but with that, I was always competing with every other artist that was already established with that subject matter. So, you know, it would take a long time to really build things up if it would even ever happen. But I was really finding painting to be creatively fulfilling. So I was wanting to continue with that. And then it hit me, like, as a wrestling fan, no one was doing artwork based on wrestling, as far as fine art was concerned, you know, things that would go into a gallery. And I started thinking, well, I want this. You know, I'm sure there's got to be other people out there that would too. And it's just a market that just isn't being served. And so I put an idea together that, and this was about 5 years ago, put an idea together that I would paint every world champion from all the major American promotions. So that's about 250 portraits when it's all said and done. And I did a Kickstarter with that. And that was when Kickstarter first started being a thing, and raised $20,000 in a month for it. It's still one of the most successful fine art Kickstarters ever done. And that showed me, like, oh yeah, there's definitely a market for this. Like, I was finally able to leave the day job and to get a studio and just focus all the time on my artwork. And so I was, you know, getting it out there online, getting a lot of, you know, great people that were sharing the work as well. And I was out on the road quite a bit, you know, 'cause the most important thing is to get people to see the art in person. As much as I show it online, you're just viewing it on your phone or whatever. And there's nothing that compares to seeing it in person.
And how do you do? Do you pay for a place to exhibit your art? Like down the road, do you make a deal with an exhibit, or like, how does that, how do you do that?
It varies. You know, there were galleries that welcomed me to show the work, as well as different types of events. And most notably was the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Museum in Waterloo, Iowa. They were having their induction ceremonies and invited me to exhibit my work there as part of that. And through there, I met Jim Ross and stayed in touch with him. And so about 3 years ago, SmackDown was coming through Kansas City, where I live, and I thought, well, this would be a great way to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And I set up a gallery show, you know, showing my work with all the proceeds going to Make-A-Wish. And I reached out to Jim just to see if he could pass my information along to the company to see if they could help me promote the show. That's all I was looking for. And he did, and they did. Like, Triple H tweeted out about it. It was a really good, big success. I was able to fully fund a kid's wish, which was tremendous. But unbeknownst to me, Jim went the extra distance and called a bunch of executives in the company and said, you need to work with this guy. And so a few weeks later, the head of consumer goods with WWE reached out to me and you know, pitched all the ways that they would like to work with me, and it's just been going since then.
Wow, that's amazing, Rob. You know, just listening to that story makes everyone think, you know, you have to start somewhere, and you have to begin, and you have to hustle, and you have to make yourself known out there, because if not, nobody else is going to recognize
you. No one's going to knock on your door and be like, hey, Rob, you know, I want to see your artwork, you know, behind couch and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. You have to make your own opportunities.
Exactly, and with that opportunity, it was just what only last year that during WrestleMania Access, which we are in WrestleMania season now, they used the banner of your artwork and basically set, you know, all your paintings and all your, you know, your drawings and concepts out there. I mean, what kind of feeling was that? What kind of reception? First of all, what kind of reception did you get from that, from people who knew you? And secondly, what kind of feeling was it for you that, hey, I'm growing up a wrestling fan and now I get to draw art and they're actually selling this at WrestleMania Access?
Yeah, I actually debuted at WrestleMania 30 Access there in New Orleans. So I'm one of those few people that have debuted at WrestleMania.
There you go.
Yeah, me and Fandango, I think.
You're a lot better at success than Fandango right now, man.
You both started out, but you're the one that came out on top, I think, in that one. I'll take Rob's career over where Fandango is right now.
Yes.
I'm currently the one with my hand raised.
There you go.
Yes. But that was amazing. You know, being at WrestleMania, and such a big one as 30 was just tremendous. And the company was awesome working with me, getting things set up. And I was painting live there, doing a huge mural. It was like 7 foot by 5 foot, celebrating 30 years of WrestleMania, all these big moments and performers, you know, from moments in WrestleMania. It was really exciting. We had a lot of paintings exhibited there. And also part of that, independently of WWE, the Ultimate Warrior had reached out to me to have me be the one painting his coats now that he was back with the company. And so that jacket that he wore in what ended up being his final appearance on Raw, I hand painted that. Like when he's holding the microphone on his sleeve,
and he does that speech, right?
Yeah.
He was
great to work with.
How did that feel? Must have been bittersweet, you know, with how everything turned out. What was your feelings when you heard the news the day after of his passing?
It was the highest of high to the lowest of low. Because, you know, we had a lot of plans together, and then I'm coming off of just this awesome experience. I actually got to watch WrestleMania from his private box.
Wow.
And you know, there were actually two jackets that I painted. Originally, when he came out for WrestleMania, the plan was for him to have the jacket on, and then they decided, well, it wouldn't be appropriate because no one else would be, you know, wearing their gimmick, so everyone's going to be in their you know, tuxes and evening dresses. So like, okay, that seems appropriate. And then at first, when he walked out on Raw, and I wasn't even there for that, we were driving back home.
Same with Jeff and I. We were actually flying, taking the red eye back, leaving Mania and going back to Jersey for us. And yeah, we saw him with the jacket. Yeah, so we didn't get a chance to go to the event as well.
Yeah, my phone started blowing up, you know, because at first he was walking out, and you know, my friends in the company, they didn't even know what the plan was. They're like, oh, sorry, man, he's not wearing the jacket. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, didn't work out, things happen. And then all of a sudden, just everything blows up on me, right? Like, he's wearing it. He put it on. They snuck it under the ring. You know, my wife was driving, and I was passenger because I knew it was coming up, and I wanted to be able to, you know, talk to people about it. And she just starts crying while she's driving just because all the emotions we'd been through. And then when we finally got home at like 1 a.m, she and I sat down and watched it, and it was powerful, you know, seeing that, like, all the work that I had put in, and here it finally is on TV. And then the next night, we're finally sitting down to watch all of Raw. You know, like, the night before, we had just fast-forwarded to that moment. So the next night, we're finally sitting down to watch it, and the next segment coming up was going to be him in the ring, and people that I'm friends with in the company started texting me, you know, just saying, Warrior died. And I just, like, freeze holding it in my hand. Like, I didn't know how to react. And my wife could tell something was wrong. And I couldn't verbalize it, you know, to make it real. And I show her, and we just, you know, turn off the TV, and we just sat there in silence for, no exaggeration, an hour. And then, you know, just went to bed.
Just life is... It, you know,
it takes funny turns. Like Rob said, you get amazing highs from what had happened to extreme lows. But still, such a memorable moment in WWE history or sports entertainment, whatever you want to call it, to see that. How long did it take to make those jackets? You said you made two. How long did it take to make the one that the Warrior wore?
Well, in typical wrestling fashion,
last minute stuff. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I was working until about 2 a.m. before we drove down to New Orleans at like 8 the next morning. So
wow. So you're on no sleep. You're like, here, you're wiping your eyes. Like, here's the jacket.
Yeah, and then we had to drive 13 hours down there. But that's the life I chose.
Yeah.
Bringing the whole thing full circle, last year at WrestleMania, beforehand they announced the Warrior Award, and that it was going to be Conor the Crusher Mahalik getting the inaugural award, and I had become friendly with the family, and so I reached out to one of my contacts with the company and said, hey, how about I do a painting of Conor and Warrior together? And we surprised the family with it at Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And they're like, oh, that would be fantastic. We would love to do that. So they snuck me in backstage. And after Steve Mahalik, Connor's father, gave that amazing speech, I was hiding behind a curtain. And they bring him in the back to do, you know, like a little post-speech interview, and I come out and give him and Jackson the painting, and he hits me with a couple things that'll just stick with me the rest of my life and reinforce why I do all this, is that first, he was able to look at his son, Connor, in those moments without seeing how sick his son was. He was able to instead see how happy and amazing an experience this was. And then coupled with that was that now there's something that Jackson could always have to remember his brother.
He'll always see that painting.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we're proved to us is, you know, we have struggles in life, but Connor really, really showed the heart of a warrior with what he dealt with. And wow, Rob, that's just, you know, just amazing that you've done all that stuff. And, you know, it's great to hear. It's amazing.
Well, Rob, something I want to touch on, what you were just talking about, that painting you made, which was a surprise to the family. I don't know, I wouldn't say I know a lot of artists, but I do know people that do paint, and they say they find it very therapeutic. But also, they always tend to tell me, too, it's also emotionally sometimes exhausting for them because they put so much of themselves into whatever it is they're drawing and painting. Do you find that same similar type of situation? I mean, granted, when you're painting Warrior and Connor together, that you want to do justice not only by your standards but to the families as well. Do you find that same thing too, where you just, you know, it's therapeutic, but also at the same time, you're emotionally kind of drained in there. Not, no pun intended, the fact you had no sleep making the jacket, but do you follow the same types of sentiments too?
Yeah, it's meditative in that hours will disappear. Mm-hmm. Like I started working today at around 10 a.m. And like on a painting that I'm doing that I can't talk about.
Darn it, thought we're gonna get breaking news here.
Scoop. When it comes out, you'll say, "Oh my gosh, I was talking to him while he was working on this." It's that big and important of a painting.
Nice. We feel honored.
It's, you know, in that sense, it's therapeutic, you know, because mm-hmm. time will just disappear. Like I started at 10 and then I got the call from you guys, right? Like it was like bam, bam to that. But the thing that like I would go home and just be utterly wore out, and I didn't understand why. And then I read an accounting of a long distance bomber pilot in World War II saying that even though he was just sitting for several hours, when he would get back to base after a mission, he would be utterly drained. And they found that what it is that you're in this utter concentration nonstop. And that actually is physically demanding. You know, like I'll actually start sweating sometimes, and I'm like how out of shape and lazy am I?
Burn the calories, you know,
sweating. But it's that amount of focus for that period of time. It can be very taxing.
Wow. I mean, we're talking to Rob Schamberger. Follow him on Twitter at Rob Schamberger. Again, the very talented Rob Schamberger, and what amazing stories he's sharing with us today on the High Spot Podcast. You know, I followed your YouTube channel, and it goes into detail how you do. For example, I think one of your latest ones was Paige, and used watercolors. Kevin Owens, to me, is one of my favorites. Like something like that, how long does that usually take for you to do something like that? And when you see, like, do you give these out to the superstars, or do when they take a look at it, what's their first reaction?
It varies from piece to piece on how long it takes. Like the one that I started at WrestleMania 30, the big one with all the different personas in it, that took a month. The one with Paige took about an hour. It really varies from piece to piece, you know, both in the complexity, the size, and the medium. As far as when I'm done, sometimes the superstars will buy them from me. Like Paige has a couple pieces of mine hanging up in her home. And actually Kevin Owens has several too, even though last year,
he tore it up right in front of you.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
Okay, it's
how long did that one take?
It's Owens being Owens.
Yeah, that was an original painting too. You know, people ask me like, "Oh, is this you know some kind of prop?" No, that was a real painting.
Because they really want to see the emotion on your face, and you're like, "Damn!"
Yeah,
and it was true emotion. You could tell.
That was a rough day at the office, but I think the company felt a little bad about that, and the next night is when they had me on Raw. So, you know, getting 4 million people to see what I'm doing definitely made up for it.
The publicity will make up for it.
Yeah. but I don't give them to them. Well, on occasion I have, you know, if it's a certain thing like Dustin reached out to me shortly after Dusty died and asked me to do a painting of the three of them, like when they were had their fists together, like the Shield.
Oh, nice, nice.
And he's got that hanging up over his mantle now. Like, I wasn't going to charge him for that, right? Like, I'd be a jerk if I did that.
I saw one with you and Stone Cold Steve Austin. To you, being a wrestling fan, when you presented one, which was the most when the wrestling fan came out of you?
When you turned fanboy, basically.
Exactly. When were you like,
if that's ever happened to you, I don't know.
Well, it's less and less now, you know, just because I know them all personally. You know, we're all together all the time. The Stone Cold one was really cool. That one was actually, we auctioned off for Connor's Cure, and I think we raised around $4,500 for the charity with that. But that was on my wife's birthday, and she went back there with me to meet with Steve and got a personal happy birthday for her from him, and I gave him some beer. So
wow, how lucky is she? Those are brownie points, buddy. Those are brownie points.
Everyone warned me, though, like, if he goes to clink a beer, you're about to get kicked in the gut and get a stunner.
Yeah. Or you're going to get that splashback effect because he just slams those cans together, man. It's not a nice little ding, here you go, toast. You know, it's full force, basically, with Stone Cold.
The WWE staffer that was taking me back to meet him, it was right before a Q&A panel that he was doing with Jerry Lawler hosting. And so we're standing outside of his green room before we go in, because we heard him talking. And then I realized it was him and Jerry, and they were talking about old Memphis wrestling. And the staffer was like, okay, we can go in. I'm like, no, I want to hear this story first.
Yes.
And now Jerry Lawler's a good drawer, too.
Yeah, and a good dude.
Yeah, and so that would be good if you guys did a draw-off or something like that, maybe.
My money's on Rob. I don't know about you. I've looked at his website. I've looked at it on Rob, Schamberger.com. Also, I've seen a lot of stuff that's being sold on ShopWWE.com. How did that come about where, I mean, we know that's been going on for a while, but how did it come about where the WWE said, hey, listen, we'd like to take some of your work and, you know, put on some T-shirts and obviously have some painting out there and, you know, give you, I guess, some proceeds. I don't know about that, but how did that come about working with the WWE shop?
Yeah, that's the department that I work with the most. And, you know, it was just a process of finding out the right timing, the right wrestlers, the right, you know, painting to put out. So we first started with posters, then we started doing some prints, and now we have the T-shirts. And yeah, I get a percentage on everything. I actually own all of my work. I'm not an employee of the company. They, you know, we just work together. So I get a percentage on everything.
You can't afford him anyway, Jeff.
Plus, it makes sense. So that would obviously be the next logical step. You know, you do the artwork, the proceeds would be, you know, would be the next step would be logically to have your own, you know, products on the website, www.shot.com. And I tell you what, dude, I'm a big fan because I ordered the Finn Balor shirt that you did.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, so that's in the mail. So it should be arriving soon.
I was checking his website, not on W Shop, but the one with Finn Balor, not the shirt, but I saw the one with as a portrait of him. He wasn't wearing the warrior paint, but basically it was him with the warrior paint. It kind of looked similar like the Carnage, like it was like symbiote put on him. I'm definitely getting that one myself.
You really have two people that here admire your work, and you know, again, I saw your YouTube channel, and I was like, you know, I'd really like to get him on, just because, you know what, it was going to be, it's WrestleMania, you know, we're heading to WrestleMania, but I think what the most important thing here is, and the message that, you know, you send out to people is, hey, you know what, if I want to achieve something, I really need to go out there and get it. You know, there's times where we're by myself, find ourselves down, you know, we're starting up, you know, the podcast here and we're trying to find a niche and find a way because, you know, everyone does a wrestling podcast, you know, that's the thing to do now. So we're trying to find our niche and your story here about, you know, going out and getting it because no one's coming to you. I think, you know, has not only, you know, been a great guest spot, but you really, you know, motivated us as well.
Oh, awesome. That's an honor. Thank you. Yeah. I was always a go-getter, I think, from that background in comic books where you're not just writing and drawing what you're doing, but you're having to deal with the printers or the publishers and getting things distributed, you know, just marketing, all of it I had to learn. So then when I took all those skills to what I do now, it worked really well. And yeah, like, when I started working with WWE at first, I was like, oh, you know, they're going to strap the rocket on me and it's going to happen now. Like, you know, they're just going to do everything for me. And then I realized, no, they just give me the opportunity. And everything from there, I have to do myself.
Couldn't agree with you more on that one. Because honestly, like I said, like Jeff said, nobody's going to knock on the door for you. Opportunities will present themselves, but you either have to make those opportunities and take advantage of them. And Jeff and I are definitely taking advantage of that. And also very appreciative of you coming on and taking time out of, well, maybe you need a break because working on that portrait you're working on, you know, maybe it gave you a little break and time to kind of wind down a little bit. And hey, you made your debut at WrestleMania, right? It's only appropriate for you to make your debut on the High Spot podcast during WrestleMania season, am I right?
Hey, it fits.
It fits, right? It makes sense, you know? Why not? But speaking of WrestleMania, I mean, will you be going to Dallas, Texas, to Jerry's World AT&T Stadium to watch?
Yeah, gonna watch. Actually, driving down next Wednesday, and going to be set up at Access again. So Thursday through Sunday, I'll be there, keeping the same hours as the Superstore. So long hours. Gonna be painting live. Doing a piece of the championship main event, so Triple H versus Roman Reigns. I have that penciled out already. It's going to be something pretty cool that people may not be expecting from me. And we're also going to have 50 original paintings there available. They're all matted and framed, and the superstars and divas have all signed the mats as well. So they're, you know, really cool, one-of-a-kind items. And then also we're going to have 24 different prints available there too.
Wow, I can't wait. Jeff and I are going to be down there anyway. You know, we're going to have to get a bigger suitcase, Jeff. I have no idea how I'm taking all this stuff with us. We have complimentary chairs that, like, how the heck are we taking this on the airplane?
Now I got to worry about painting.
Now I got to worry about, like, a gigantic canvas portrait that I'm probably going to look at and be like, hey, Rob, it's me, Brian from the High Spot. How much is this one?
Guys, for you, whatever it is, add 10% to it. Like, oh, nice. Hey, Rob, listen, man. WrestleMania, of course, you know, the card. Any match in particular you're looking forward to? And don't give me the politician, well, they all look good. You know what I mean?
You're not an employee of the WWE, so you can't have an opinion.
Everybody here is going to bust their butt and put their heart out there. No, I want you to tell me, you're a wrestling fan first and foremost, which match are you looking forward to?
Well, it does become different when you know everyone personally. It definitely changes my perception of things. But with that,
it's hard to separate yourself from it. I understand. But sometimes if you really look at it, the pure fan standpoint in it, although you might not be necessarily in agreement with everything that's going on in terms of storyline, like Jeff and I always argue about. Yeah, there's gotta be something that sticks in your mind. Like, man, I can't wait to see this one. It's going to be awesome.
The triple threat match for the Divas title, has me very excited.
I think anything with Sasha Banks has us very excited.
Well, has Jeff very excited, yeah.
Oh, she's awesome, man. Yeah. And you know, these are three women that have gotten to this point through sheer hard work and making the most of their minutes on TV. And to the point that this is arguably the biggest women's match in WrestleMania history. I think we have the potential for something really special there. And with their history of how they work together that you can see, you know, in NXT, it could end up being the match that steals the night as well.
Jeff, I think Rob has just hinted his next portrait. of these three powerful women. What a great image would that be? Or the four horsewomen from NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn. That was, I mean, I would joke with Jeff, like, that's a Kodak moment.
I saw the one he
moment.
Did with Sasha Banks and Bayley that you did for TakeOver, which is really good. That'd be a pretty good one. Hey, listen, hey, if I'm giving you ideas here, you know, he's like, ooh. He's like, I didn't think of that one. And he's like,
maybe. We don't know.
And he's like, guys, I got to go. Well, speaking of having to go, Rob, listen, man, we really appreciate the time. Appreciate the time you've given us. We're heading down to Mania 2 as fans. And again, listen, we might just say what's up. Maybe take a picture. And listen, when we take a picture and you put your arm around me, just make sure you wipe your hands or the paint first before. I don't want to get anything on my...
No, come on. You got to take something with you.
Oh, maybe I get like a fingerprint of Rob and maybe, you know...
There
oh,
you go.
Okay.
Or, you know, get a smear of paint on you and then you say you now have a Rob Schaeberger
original. There you go.
Original. Rob Schaeberger original.
Like
right there.
There you go.
Right? That'd be a big thing, right?
Yeah, just don't smear the middle finger on me because then everyone will think...
portrait.
Yeah, but no, definitely we'll head down there and we'll definitely, if you don't mind, we'll say, you know, what's up. And, you know, personally meet you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's Rob Schaeberger. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh. Yeah. If Finn Balor shirt comes in time, and this is for anyone coming by, if you're wearing one of my shirts from WWE Shop, I'm going to have these Ultimate Warrior prints there where I purposefully didn't color in his face paint. And you tell me what your two favorite colors are, and I'll hand embellish the print just for you.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Hey, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm getting my Finn Balor stuff right now. I'm waiting for it to come in. I can't wait to see that one. Rob, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Like we said, we know your time is very precious of all the work you do, too. And we can't wait to see down WrestleMania and hopefully in the near future do this again.
Oh, looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob. And that was Rob Schaeberger. You can catch him on Twitter at Rob Schaeberger. Just a great interview with him and listening to his story. Got me and Jeff inspired and wanting to do more with this podcast, which we will not most likely, but definitely will do in the near future. So we thank you for listening to the interview. You were listening to the High Spot Podcast again on Twitter at High Spot Podcast with new updates on guests and new things Jeff and I are venturing towards to bring more of what we like to do to you guys out there, not only on SoundCloud, but on iTunes, YouTube, website coming up. So all that looking forward to in the near future. WrestleMania weekend came and went, but at the same time, we started off with a bang, and we'd like to thank Rob Schaeberger for coming on. So you guys have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I'm Brian Berger. We will see you guys on the other side.